There's a filler that they put in a lot of these vitamins, and the way to tell whether the vitamin is something that will break down, you put it in the oven and you bake it. And I did this a long time ago, and I think it was like 500 degrees for about an hour. And whatever is left is the filler that they put in that vitamin. And I took a vitamin, one of these multivitamins from GNC. Mm-hmm. GNC is supposed to have good vitamins.
Yeah.
And I baked the thing until there was nothing left, but there was a little black brown thing left, a little hard,
really?
Like a stone. And that was the filler in it.
Hmm.
And so this is why that they filled them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, a lot of them do have a lot of fillers in. I don't take any vitamins made by a big company. You know, I only take I take a multivitamin that's a liquid and has all from natural sources. I don't take a lot of regular vitamins you buy in these packets with, you know, take these packets and you'll have everything you need. A lot of these will just pass through your system because they're commercially made and the vitamins are synthesized. So don't take any synthesized vitamins. They'll do you more harm than good because they'll just pass through your system. They'll overwork your kidneys and liver and do you more harm than good. Yeah.
I talked to one of the chemists who formulates many of the vitamins. Mm-hmm. From many, many companies. He's very, very famous. And he said that most vitamin companies will not put in good quality stuff into the vitamins. If it costs more than a penny or two, they won't use it.
Yeah.
So he has his own personal line of vitamins that he puts together. And they're rather expensive, but it's because he puts the really good stuff that you can assimilate.
Yeah, just about everything I take is just what they call a food supplement. In other words, like the blue-green algae is in a natural state. I mean, they just harvest it and they don't take anything away or add anything to. I take kelp, that's the same way. They don't really process it. They just, do minimal processing and put it in a capsule and make it available. And so these are the best supplements to take is just concentrated food. And the best thing, of course, is to eat good food. Now, another thing I do is because we don't really have room to grow much, I grow a few things in some pots in the backyard, but we don't have much of a backyard to grow things in. I grow my own sprouts. Now, the good thing about sprouts is they also, if they're from a good source, they'll have some good natural minerals in them. But the best thing about sprouts is they have a lot of vital force, and they have a lot of enzymes, and also quite a few vitamins. Now, some sprouts are easier to grow than others. For a birthday present 1 year, Artie bought me this big sprouting machine. I worked with it a while, and it broke, and got it replaced, and then it broke again, and so I gave up on it, and I took these sprouting plates, and I figured, heck, I just need them. And so anyway, I used them, and I just water manually a couple times a day. And I found the best sprouts to sprout are...
Sunflower.
What do I sprout, dear?
Sunflower.
Broccoli, I'm sorry, broccoli sprouts.
Sunflower.
This for inside. Broccoli sprouts are good. They're a little pricey, but when you sprout them yourself, they go a long way, and they're easy to sprout. Now, some things are a lot harder to sprout than others, and just don't seem to go bad a lot easier unless you really pay a lot of attention to it. But broccoli is pretty hardy, and it also has proven to have anti-cancer ingredients in there. Broccoli is really good. Chinese cabbage is good. And radishes are very hardy. Radish seeds are very easy to sprout. You don't have to pay a lot of attention to them. Just water them a couple times a day, and they grow really fast.
Do they taste a little harsh like radish?
Well, they have kind of a radish taste, you know, spicy taste. But one of the healthiest sprouts you can grow, which are extremely cheap, is sunflowers. Now, I tried sprouting sunflowers, and they just didn't seem to work. And then I was in a health food store, and some bright guy had sunflowers in little plastic containers growing right out of dirt itself. And I thought, well, that's the secret, just grow them in dirt. So in the summertime, I set apart a couple of pots that I just grow sunflowers in. Now, the great part about sunflower seeds, you can buy the raw seeds for Winco, 84 cents a pound. Now, a pound of broccoli seeds is about $40, you know. So sunflowers are a really cheap way to go, and they're a very healthy plant. So you let them grow till they're about that big, and then you start picking them and put them in your salads, and it's really a good, healthy green vegetable that's you organically grow it all by yourself. It only takes about a week to get them going, and I grow them except for about 3 months of the year when it's really cold. I grow these sunflower plants and or sprouts, and when it gets near freezing time, I bring them inside at night, and that way I can continue growing them for an extra long season. The advantage of them, like I say, is they're really cheap. It's about the cheapest food you can grow yourself. There's outfits that sell you special sunflower seeds for, $10 a pound or whatever, but you just go to the bulk department and grocery store and you buy them for under $1 a pound, and that's the way to go. Another seed that's really easy is lentils. Lentils, you just take a mason jar for either lentils, also works very well for radish, and you soak them overnight. And then you rinse it twice a day in the mason jar. Just rinse it out. And in about 3-4 days, you'll have edible sprouts from either lentils or radish seeds. Now, the advantage of lentils is they're also really cheap. I think they're less than $1 a pound in bulk departments.
You ever do mung beans?
I think I did once. I wasn't excited about them, but I think they sprout pretty good. One really important ingredient for minerals is sea salt. Now take a look at this sea salt and tell me how it looks different than regular salt.
It's got dirt in it.
How does it affect the thyroid?
It's darker.
The thyroid? It has beneficial effect on everything.
It's small and crystal.
Does the color look different?
Yeah, they're darker.
Yeah. Salt is one of the... They put salt in everything. It's amazing how many things have a lot of salt in. You eat an olive, you're eating a lot of salt. You eat a piece of cheese, you're eating a lot of salt. You eat a piece of commercial bread, there's a bunch of salt in that. You know, we're very cautious about sugar, but they've got a lot of salt in. Almost every commercial product has a tremendous amount of salt in it. And it's not good salt. To create this regular commercial salt, they take mine salt and then they heat it up to around 800 degrees and they take out all the minerals. And the only thing left is just the pure sodium, and that's why it's so white. But this is what it looks like when it's right from the sea. That's dehydrated right from the sea. The unrefined salts that you can buy do not look snow white. Now, there's other salts that are mined that are not processed, and some of these will have, like, there's one in Utah that's got a reddish hue to it.
And a pink rust.
Yeah, and then there's some you can buy from Hawaii that's mined from under some volcano, and it's got kind of a bluish hue to it. Good salt will not be white. That's the clue for you. Now, if you see sea salt as an ingredient, you're still not safe, because a lot of sea salt is refined just like the regular salt. But they bring it from the sea, these big companies bring it from the sea, and they put it, they refine it, put it in their ingredients, and advertise that they're using sea salt because it's starting to get around now that sea salt's better than regular salt. But a lot of the sea salt that's in our food that's advertised as sea salt is no better than the regular salt. It's refined similar way. All the minerals are taken out of it. Matter of fact, if you go in a health food store, some of the cheaper sea salt that you buy, you pour it out, it's just as white as regular salt. That's because they've taken all the minerals out. Now, unfortunately, these good salt costs more than regular salt, but when you figure up how much of it you use, it's really not that much to throw in high quality salt in your diet. You know, it might cost you extra 10 cents a day or so, but it's well worth it. Now, regular, I've tried all kinds of different salt, and what I do is when I try a new food, I pay attention to my body because my body tells me whether or not it likes it. Well, Dr. McCullough was advertising this glacier salt. He says, this glacier salt is really good. It's been sitting there for 87 million years, and it's as natural as you can get. And so it sounded like the ultimate salt. But I tried it for a while, and my body just didn't like it. So, but this salt here, my body tells me that it likes it better than any salt that I've ever tried. And this Celtic salt is taken from, they've also done mercury tests on this. It's negligible mercury and contaminants in it. It's evaporated from the sea, and that's all they do. They evaporate it from the cleanest seawater they can find. Then that's the way it is in its natural state. This is the type of salt they used in the days of Jesus when he talked about salt, which has lost its savor and so forth. Yeah, Lorraine.
What possibility that your body doesn't like glacier salt, but somebody else's body does? Is that possible, or is it?
Yeah, it's possible. That's why you need to
check your own body.
And Artie's going to show you tomorrow some different ways to get information from your body if you just don't sense it yourself. Because sometimes, you know, I don't sense everything, but another thing that's confusing is maybe you'll make two or three changes in your diet and you'll notice a difference, and then you think, well, which change made the difference?
Jason, what about kosher salt? Where does that fall in the line? I mean, I know it's white.
Yeah, what's kosher mean?
That says kosher. And there's a little circle that says kosher, P-A-R-E-V-E.
Does that say kosher on it?
Yes, it does.
I
don't
even know what it means.
Yeah, I think kosher is just for salt that's acceptable to the Jewish diet. I'm not sure what their criteria is for salt itself, but I think most it's probably not as refined as much as regular salt would be my guess. Does anyone know the Jewish criteria for kosher salt?
Yeah, it's the way it was processed.
It's the way it's processed?
An approved processing.
So it'd be minimal processing?
It's minimal processing, and it cannot be processed on any plant that also processes animal products or...
Oh, okay. Okay. So it'd probably be better than regular salt, but you want to look at it because, yeah, I've seen some salt in health food stores that is kosher, that looks like it's been fairly refined. Apparently this is kosher also. So you want to look at the... You want to actually look at the salt you're buying. If it's not completely pure white but has a little discolorization, that's because it's got a bunch of minerals in it. Now, these are not these minerals are not organic minerals, but they're ionic. And because they're ionic, they're also your body's able to assimilate a higher percentage of them than like from drinking water or something like this. Okay. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue this.